Hey, guys, we are back once again with another episode of Depp Heads and Hiddlestoners. Matter of fact, I believe this makes episode 32. 20 more, and we've got a year.
Nice.
Excellent. I can't wait. 6 months was a big deal for me, so, you know.
Yeah.
That year mark, we're going to have to do something special on that one.
That would be amazing.
And we have, absolutely, we've got Johnny Depp's birthday coming up very shortly, too, June 9th. So we'll probably do a special with for him, just like we did for Hiddleston. I'm not sure exactly what just yet.
How old will he be?
He will be 59.
Wow. Okay.
Yep, and I've got a little bit more on that a little bit later that ties in with what we're discussing today. I'm Jen, and here with me I've got...
You got Carrie.
Absolutely. Joining us via remote, but that's all right. So, have you had a chance to watch any of the trial at all?
I actually haven't recently. I'll get recaps, but I haven't watched, you know, any of the trial footage on court TV. Work resumed, and I'm pretty much, you know, 8 to 5-ing it again.
Right. Well, I made myself watch a good bit of it today, and after about 10 minutes, I was reminded as to why I quit watching the trial to begin with. It's pissing me off to the point I'm ready to walk to Fairfax, Virginia, just so I can kick that bitch's ass and show her what real Bruces look like.
All right. Okay. So, okay. You feel very strongly about it?
Not that I would do it, which I wouldn't, but, you know.
Right.
She's been caught in lie after lie after lie after lie, and is still sticking to the she took Johnny's defense. I only defended myself when I had to, when I could. When she was asked about, like, the phone calls where she is definitely the aggressor, things like that, no, I only defended myself when I had to, you know, when I could. Oh, lady, honey, give me a break. But listening to, you know, of course, they bring in experts to talk about this, talk about that. There was one point that I hadn't thought about. And, you know, I totally, totally, totally have faith in Johnny Depp. I believe him when he says he never physically abused her. Absolutely, 100%, I believe that. However, Amber Heard only has to prove one instance. Just one. She could lie through her teeth about every damn thing else, but if she proves one single case of Johnny Depp abusing her, his defamation suit goes out the window.
Well, okay.
However.
Does it look like that could happen? I mean, they tried, you know. She's already dismissed a great deal of her legal team, and I think it's because they couldn't. I mean, of course they were just bad. They're not good at it.
Her legal team, there's the ones she kept are idiots. They put one of Johnny's lawyers on the stand. Did Johnny Depp tell you to? I can't answer that. That's privileged information. Attorney-client privilege? Well, would you say that Johnny Depp did... I can't answer that. That's attorney-client privilege. Well, did Johnny ever come to you... I can't talk about that. That's attorney-client privilege. This woman must have asked the same question 18 different ways. But as soon as she said you and Johnny Depp in the same sentence, attorney-client privilege, he can't speak. Period. And she's a lawyer. She should know this. You know, is it not like one of the first things they teach you is attorney-client privilege? That you don't talk about your clients with anybody? Ever? I mean, it was irritating. It was aggravating. Because you could tell what she was fishing for. You could see exactly what she was fishing for. And he wasn't giving her an inch. And I'm sitting there going, yeah.
You know, it's a desperate, I mean, obviously, you know, if she has to prove once, certainly they would have come up with something by now. I don't feel too bad about it.
The only issue that they will have to overcome, although it is a small, I think it's a small one. Her sister testified that she had seen Johnny put his hands on Amber. But, once again, this is her sister. And several other people who were there for the same incident had very different stories to tell.
Okay.
So, it's going to come down to credibility. However, that's one thing I wanted to point out. The two opposing sides had two expert witnesses, each one contradicting the other on both Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's mental stability. However, a third-party psychiatrist came in and was analyzing both Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, just the way that they walked, the way they act, the way they talked, the way they appeared on the stand, how they answered questions, eye contact, the whole gambit, and basically said that Amber Heard's psychologist is full of crap, and that Johnny Depp's expert witness hit the nail on the head with her diagnoses of histrionic disorder and borderline personality disorder.
Yeah, so. Which they established that early, with Amber Heard's diagnosis, and that kind of set, I think, the frame. It was really advantageous, Johnny being put on the stand, basically first week. I don't know. I mean, it's obvious. Yeah, I was nervous. He did really great on the stand, and I'm like, okay, well, he's done great, and now it's Amber's turn, and it's just been, like you said, it's a shit show.
It has been a shit show. And yeah. The lawyers are now approaching it to, they've quit even trying to discuss Johnny Depp abusing Amber. Now they're on about his drug and alcohol use, which he has admitted to. He's not tried to hide it. He has never once said, oh, that's a lie, I didn't do that. No. He acted like a man, owned up to his own failures, owned up to his shit, took responsibility for what was his own fault. He has not once tried to back down from any of that. So now they're trying to push it, saying that he ruined his own career with his drug and alcohol use and his attitude toward showing up for filming late, having fights with the different directors, not getting along with the cast members. Which, what's funny is none of the other actors, directors, producers, cast members, set, crew, anybody, no one has said anything about any of this.
Yeah.
So, there is that. Oh, but the lawyer that was on the stand was Adam Walden, and he's been a representative of Johnny's since October 2016. But yeah.
Okay.
So, just wanted to get that out there. So if anybody was going, who was on the stand? What the hell? However, Tracy Jacobs also took the stand. She was his manager for quite a while, and he fired her in 2016. Each of them, of course, has their own opinion as to why, but Johnny basically said, your job as a manager is to go out there and hustle to get me acting spots. That's your
Absolutely.
Job.
Absolutely, that's his job.
It's not
her
job.
But
she was essentially, because he had gotten to be such a big star, she would just sit around and wait for the phone to ring. So, and that was his reason behind letting her go and changing managers. She tells a different story that he got tired of her harassing him about showing up late to the sets and, showing up drunk or showing up high or, having issues with this one or that one. That was her version of it. So, she actually did, however, come across as essentially neutral You know, she, it was obvious that she did not bear Johnny any ill will.
Okay.
And yeah, she flat said that she'd seen Amber, you know, several times, like a day after supposed abuse had happened. And there was not a mark on her. She didn't act stiff. She didn't act sore. There was nothing on her face. She had no bruises. She had no abrasions. She wasn't stiff. And she never, Amber Heard has never treated Johnny the way an abuse victim treats their abuser. If you know someone who has been abused, if you have been abused, you know what I'm talking about. You don't sit there and egg them on. You don't sit there and challenge them in your voice. You don't sit there and goad them. That's not what you do to someone who has physically, mentally, emotionally abused you. You do not do that because you know they will slap back. She definitely does not act toward Johnny the way an abused victim normally acts toward their abuser. And that was pointed out a couple of times as well. So, you know, I hope the jury's paying attention. However, Johnny flinches if you watch, like, the press reels and stuff. Red carpet events, things like that. If she moves or turns or moves her hands too quickly, he flinches.
Okay.
Which one do you think's the abuse victim here?
Well, okay, well, and I believe that I've got to look at that, though. That is actually...
Yeah, it's...
That would be a tell. That would be a tell.
Yep.
You're totally right.
Yep, and that's not even counting the friggin' bruises that he couldn't hide with makeup. The black eyes, the finger got cut off, you know, all of this stuff, too.
You're wild. Yep.
However, in closing about the trial, the, quote, experts did say that it's still pretty much up in the air, that it could go either way, or the jury could decide that they're both frigging toxic and nobody deserves anything and it's a draw, go home. So, and it's still really, as far as, you know, other people who have been judge, jury, that type of thing for similar cases, it's still way too early to even start to guess as to which way the jury will go. So I kept thinking it was going to be a wash. You know, this is going to be easy. It's going to be a cakewalk. Apparently, not so much. So, Johnny, we're behind you 100%. We stand with you. Justice for Johnny Depp, as always.
Absolutely.
All right, now that I got that out of my system. Loki.
Yes.
Ha, to my other favorite man. I'm going to have to start calling him my right side and left side. I got Loki. I got Loki on my left. I got Edward Scissorhands on my right. So.
Pretty cool.
All right, we are talking about the series, Loki the series, and we're on episode 3, I believe.
Yes, episode 3.
Lamentous, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And a real quick aside, I said I was going to mention Johnny's birthday again. The first 3 episodes of the Loki series were all released on the same day. Do you know what day that was?
No.
It was June 9th, 2021. Now, the thing about June 9th, number one, it was a Wednesday. Wednesday is Woden's Day or Odin's Day in the Norse. The number 9 is also, it's a special number in Norse mythology. 9 realms, you know, various other things. And June 9th, 1963 happens to be Johnny Depp's birthday. He turned 58 the day that Loki the series was released.
Wow, okay. Wow. That's very specific research you've done there, miss.
Absolutely. Well, that's one more that's going to have to go. I'm going to have to figure out how to link my some of my blog posts.
Yeah.
Because this whole connection thing, all the different connections between Hiddleston and Depp.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not just going to continue to, you know, it's just going to be like, hey, I found another one, you know. And yes, I know, I have not been posting on the blog, and I've got about 18 things that need to go on the blog, which I haven't done yet. So, I'm working on it, guys. I am really sorry. Speaking of, oh, I forgot, in our intro, the Essex Serpent. I said last week that it was a movie. I am so sorry. I was wrong, as usual. It is a TV series. The first two episodes premiered on May 13th. Hang on one second. Okay, the first episode premiered on May 13th, 2022.
Wow. Okay, so, and they've done two episodes?
They've put out two episodes, and I think the third is either out now or coming out in, like, the next day. So yeah, just wanted to get that out there.
You know, these limited series, it's better than a movie. I mean, these things are a minimum of 6 hours long. Okay. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, generally like an hour long. Well, I guess they're probably like 50 minutes, really. But, you know, these big ones, I mean, this is literally going to be probably like a 5 hour or more movie. These guys that do these limited series, like, you know, I had heard with WandaVision, they're like, you know, we approached it as filming a limited series when a lot of us in production knew the reality of it was, this is a 6 hour movie. You know, you have to kind of look at it in different ways, because actors are like, oh my God, how am I going to make a 6 hour movie? That's insane.
Right.
So you're getting a whole lot of Hiddleston, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You're getting the Essex Serpent.
And Claire Danes is who plays opposite him, and I love her. She is an absolutely amazing actress, but she dropped off the face of the earth about 15 years ago. Haven't seen anything about her.
No, she did Homeland. And Homeland was, I think she ended up picking up some Emmys. But Homeland was huge. I think it was on HBO. But, you know, it's a limited market. I don't know. And it sounds like, you know, HBO, Apple TV, sounds like maybe she's kind of found her niche. I don't think she's doing movies at all anymore.
Right.
I can't think of the last movie that she's been in.
Yeah, I know. But, she, I mean, I used to love watching her on the screen.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I think she's really great.
Yeah, she always has been. And she's got that almost girl next door looking quality. That you know, she's not that classically beautiful, but she is just so damn cute.
Yeah, I remember really kind of, yeah, I remember when she did My So-Called Life, I was kind of crushing on her.
Oh, absolutely. Guys, girls, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, and update on Loki. Da-da-da-da-da. Season 2. First Marvel spinoff to get a season 2.
Wow.
It is also the most downloaded and streamed project on Disney Plus today. Thought that was pretty cool. It is the most watched Marvel Studios streaming project on Disney Plus.
Wow.
Wow.
More so than, any of them, huh? More so than WandaVision.
Oh, yeah. It's the first in the MCU to get a second season, and I've got another thing about the... this is the Marvel Studios' first villain-centric project. Or anti-hero. No matter what you want to call it. You know, he ends up being the good guy in the end, but, you know, to begin, he's kind of neutral.
Yeah.
Oh, but, do you remember we were discussing the Loki series? We were talking about the dot matrix printer.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I have an answer for you.
Okay.
All right, because we were both very curious as to if this place is so futuristic, and it is, you know, got flying cars when you look out the window. Why are they still using rotary phones, dot matrix printers, typewriters instead of computers, things like this? And I was really very curious about that, so I looked it up. Now, the TVA sets, they were purposefully designed to look like a stereotypical government office building from the 60s and 70s. And when I say from the 60s and 70s, I mean down to dot matrix printers, typewriters, rotary phones. It's made to look that way. It's supposed to look like a set from the 60s.
Yeah, they definitely pulled it off. I mean, I was like, wow. I love the aesthetics of Loki. I really liked the feel.
I love the contrast.
Yes. Yeah. You know, you do get kind of your flying cars, and it's kind of cool because, you know, there was a lot of kind of 60s, 70s sort of feels where they talked about how in the 50s, you know, they promised us flying cars.
Right.
And hey, you ended up kind of getting those flying cars and, you know, 70s, 80s technology, you know, those RCA, Curtis Mathis.
Right.
Zenith. TVs,
oh my God, the ones that had the big magnifying glass in front of them that you hurt your eyes watching too long.
You'll see in a lab, and then yeah, outside, you know, it's obvious that you're inside a massive superstructure that could never have been created with the technology that they have inside.
Now, the outside, when you look out the window and you see that magnificent view, that was inspired by the, the Marquis Hotel in Atlanta. The Marriott Marquis Hotel in Atlanta. The atrium that's in there, it's huge. It's got these long running hallways. It's got bridges across the atrium. But that is where they got the inspiration for those scenes.
That is really cool.
Yep. But unfortunately, they're going to be filming in England this time instead of here. Because, you know, if they were going to be filming in Atlanta again, I'd probably have to go park my ass in Atlanta for a little while.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Strictly for a professional.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'd need a quote for my podcast.
Absolutely.
And you know, I love the way when the series opens, the Loki, L-O-K-I, flickers between fonts and different styles and sizes and all that. Well, Hiddleston was quoted as saying that the series title shifting between fonts refers to, quote, integrating the disparate fragments of the many selves that Loki can be. That's a bit heavy for a title, but okay.
Yeah, you know, we never really kind of got to see that in the movies, and here we did. We, you know, there's there are different dimensions. You know, you suspected there was more, I think, in the movies. It was always kind of a funny, he was the trickster, but got really complicated.
In the movies, you see a different side of him in each movie that he's in. You see a different part. Like I said, that's why the second, The Dark World, the Thor, The Dark World is my favorite. Because that's where you see the caring, loving, brokenhearted, desperate son striving for revenge for his mother being killed. He even goes so far as to help Thor achieve his goals. Because Thor is helping him. You know, one hand washes the other. It is the only movie which Thor and Loki are both in that Loki does not betray him at any point in the movie.
Yeah, so, good point.
Yeah, so you get good to point. See all the different sides. But if you're, you know, oh, it's Loki, then you miss a lot. You have to be watching for it or you won't see it. So,
You know, the Thor movies, I think, have the best rewatchability.
Yes.
You know, they really do. I mean, you know, now I really do need to go back and watch Dark World. And yeah, and I liked it a lot.
Oh, yes. It's my favorite Thor movie.
The rewatch has got to be fantastic.
Yeah, favorite. And I love Jeff Goldblum, don't get me wrong. But, yeah, Dark World has got to be my favorite Thor movie of the three. Waiting to see what Love and Thunder is going to come about. And they're talking about Loki may have a guest spot in Love and Thunder.
Come on. Yeah.
Well, he was down in Australia while they were filming.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Everybody in the franchise is friends. I mean, I know there are like a few exceptions or whatever. But come on.
Oh, and I also checked, because most of these TV series and things don't give you a budget. They don't tell you, they'll tell you how much the series cost. But they won't give you a breakdown per episode. But I managed to find one anyway. For the Loki series, for each episode was approximately $25 million per episode, which brings the grand total for the six-episode series to $150 million for six episodes.
Yeah.
That is a chunk of change. But if you look at all the CGI and, you know, all the different, and the you know, some of the special effects are just incredible, so.
And how many episodes again?
Six episodes.
So, $150 million for essentially, like, a 5.5-hour movie. That's actually not too bad.
Considering the last... Wait, the last Thor movie? Hang on, give me just a second. Nope, that's the Pirate Fairy. Dark World. Okay, the budget for Dark World, a 2-hour movie, 2 hour and 5 minutes, 2 hours and 5 minutes, I believe it is. I think that's the total. Was between $150 and $170 million. And that's for a 2-hour movie. So, yeah, the series, you know, 6 hours of basically a 6-hour movie. Yeah, for $150 million, yeah, they got a deal.
Yeah, and, you know, it looked like a movie. I mean, this didn't look like any regular, you know, freaking TV show
I still hate the fact they put him in polyester. They don't put Loki in polyester. What the hell is wrong with you people? You know, they wanted to torture him. That's the way to do it. Especially
the
when
jacket,
you...
The jacket and the hat. He had the hat too, right?
Yes, at one point he did. But yeah, friggin'
looked amazing in that hat.
He's used to wearing Gucci and Armani and, you know, wearing Ferragamos on his feet, and they put him in fucking polyester.
Yeah.
Now, the who we haven't talked about just yet is the point of the whole episode, Miss Sylvie. This is where you get to know Sylvie. This is where you learn a bit about her, what makes her tick, how she thinks. You don't learn her backstory until episode 4. But yeah, you get to learn quite a bit about how she thinks and how she equates as a Loki. And I noticed something. You know, she says several times, "Don't call me Loki. You know, I'm not that anymore."
Right.
But yet, as they're heading for the train, Loki says, "This is not a situation that we can fight our way out of." And she said, "Every situation is one that you can fight your way out of." I said, "Well, there you go. There's the Loki right there."
Yeah.
And she really does have that kind of rawr, you know, grr, knuckle dragon mentality.
Yeah.
So, but of course, you know, he schmoozes his way between his talents and hers. They get aboard the train. And then Sylvie, who is played by Sophia DiMartino, she kind of dozes off, and Loki proceeds to get drunk.
Just wasted.
Absolutely wasted. Yeah.
The US Guardians, man. They really, the US Guardians really love to get wasted.
Yeah, but you would think that a half-assed Guardian and half Frost Giant would not be able to get drunk on champagne. I mean, it's hard for me to get drunk on champagne. Come on now.
He's a god. He wanted to.
Oh, there you go.
He made it happen.
There you go. All right. And he was drinking figgy port as well, I believe he said. And what figgy port is, I have no clue. But that's one of the things that he mentions to Sophie, was that the figgy port is very good. So, and while he is quite inebriated, he does something that no other actor has done just yet. Not someone who claims to be an actor, not a singer. He sang something on camera that debuted at number 10 on the worldwide download website the next day after this episode came out. This song is called Very Full. It is sung almost entirely in Norwegian.
Okay.
Which is not one of Hiddleston's languages. So I'm wondering if he, because he's got the inflection, the tonality, it's spot on. I checked.
Well, he's good with linguistics.
Well, he has 5 languages fluently and 11 overall that he can speak.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's definitely a linguist. Kind of makes you wonder. You know, what else he can do with his tongue?
I was about to say, the cunning linguist.
Exactly. Anyway.
He can lick the alphabet and...
We got to finish this podcast. Probably not a good idea to start talking about that just yet.
All right.
So I'm going to crawl back out of the gutter. All right. But yeah, that it is not one of the languages on his list. So I'm wondering, I couldn't find out how long it took him, you know, or what he had to do, who he studied with to learn the song. But yeah, that song actually debuted as at number 10 on the worldwide download tally website.
Wow.
On June 10th. So not only is he a wonderful actor, speaks 11 languages. He's a great singer, and he's a top 10 artist. So that's definitely something to note. But Sophia DiMartino, now she's the one who played Sylvie. And I had made the comment to a couple of friends, I believe Carrie, you were among them, about not having seen her in anything else before.
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason for that. And no, it's not that she wasn't in anything. She actually debuted in... I am so sorry. Trying to read my notes with my glasses on, which is not a good thing. all right, where is it? She debuted on the BBC. In 2004, playing Gemma Walker in a series called Holby City. H-O-L-B-Y. Holby City. She had her first movie in 2011. That movie was called Black Pond, also an English production. And she played a woman named Rachel. Now, she's done several movies. She's done several TV series. But it's all located in England, and there's not a lot of it that has come statewide as far as being able to catch her in them.
Okay.
So that's why we haven't seen her. But yeah, she's a very big name in England. So, you know, she probably loved coming over here and people wouldn't recognize her. It's not going to happen now, but, you know, before the series came out.
So, to your knowledge, was Hiddleston, had he done any American production stuff before he was cast as Loki? I mean, he may be kind of one of those people. You know, there's a lot of, and I see, like, I used to watch Battlestar Galactica when it was on Sci-Fi, and there were some English actors that had done a fair amount of work. Canadian actors, too, and you'd never saw them because they don't appear on American TV. You know, and they've gone on to kind of, you know, continue both, you know, they went back to their home country and sometimes survived the crossover like Tom did.
Okay, let's see. I'm thinking not. I'm thinking that Thor was his U.S. debut, but right. I am going to check it because I don't want to give, I don't want to give any wrong information. So, let me see. Wallander, that was English. Children's Monologues, that was also English. He was in Woody Allen's Midnight Paris, which he starred with none other than Owen Wilson.
Okay, and so was that before Loki? Yeah.
That was 2011. The Avengers was 2012, so the original Thor movie was 'm can't see with glasses on, can't see with them off. 2010 was Loki. Or 2010 was Thor. So it was 2000. Yeah. It was Thor first, and then it was Midnight Paris.
Yeah. And it looks like that was kind of his big international break.
And the big thing, and I've caught this on interviews from several different English actors. The big breakthrough, yeah, was when I can't call his name. Played in Night Manager. Opposite
Hugh Laurie?
Thank you. When Hugh Laurie came to the US and hit it big with House.
Yeah.
Well, nobody knew he was English.
Right.
But that kind of opened the door a little bit for, and then you started getting Australian actors, Crocodile Dundee, various other Australian actors, and that cracked the door a little wider.
Right.
But there for a very long time, the English actors basically were told to wait for an invitation before coming to audition for American movie parts.
Interesting.
So we not only have a huge, hugely disproportionate sense of entitlement, we're also fucking snobs, apparently.
And they thought the English with the accents were the snobs.
Yeah, really. But yeah, that's for a very long time, that is apparently how it was.
Wow.
So, getting the mainly English cast for the Thor movies, for the Loki series, and all of that really just, not only did it slam that door wide open, it kind of knocked it off its hinges.
Yeah.
So we can...
It was a pretty serious entrance.
Oh, yeah. But Miss Martino, now she had just given birth right before this series started filming. She refused to say whether it was a girl or a boy. She is very protective over her child, which I can get it. You know, I can get behind that. I definitely understand it. However, the costume had to be tailored a little bit. And I'm not talking about for weight gain or anything like that. No. She brought her baby with her every day to set, and they installed zippers, concealed zippers, on several different parts of her costume in order to facilitate her feeding her baby. And I thought that was absolutely amazing.
That is very cool. Thoughtful.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I mean, you know, I guess they had to. I mean,
not really.
You know,
no, they didn't. Well, I mean, they could have made her struggle with it, and you know, but no, they put the concealed zippers in and made sure she had plenty of time. Made sure that, you know, pretty much, you know, she was not demanding it all from what I hear, But pretty much they catered to whatever, you know, she felt she needed as far as the baby was concerned. They were just very grateful that she did not make them go and hire someone else.
Yeah, you know, and I kind of wonder how that process went, because she had a baby.
Yeah.
That she was nursing.
Right.
I mean, I suppose maybe when she was doing the auditions or up for, I mean, she was pregnant, like, bursting nearly, you know.
Well, I know, but I could not find out when auditions started for the series anyway. So, it, you know, she might have happened so early on in her pregnancy, as far as the auditions go, that it didn't hamper her at all.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, I just thought that was very, very cool of the costume designers and the set workers that they altered the costume for her and made it just a little bit easier. I just thought that was amazing. Thumbs up to you guys. Absolutely.
And I'm really glad that they could have hired somebody else maybe, but I really, really liked Sophia.
Oh, she did an amazing job.
Really, really great.
Definitely. Oh, you know Miss Minutes? Miss Minutes? Does she remind you of anything maybe that you might have seen in a movie? You know, a production of, it's got like dinosaurs and a little theater production inside the park. And Miss Minutes was inspired by Mr. DNA from Jurassic Park.
Really?
Yes. It just hit you, didn't it?
Yeah. All right, now I gotta look it up.
Yeah.
What's the voice of Mr. DNA?
No, not the voice now. No, just the way that she appears.
Yeah, but now, I'm just...
Now, the voice of Miss Minutes is...
Who did her voice?
Who did her voice? Give me just a second, and I can tell you. Much, much better prepared today, actually. Let's see.
Oh, my gosh. The super awesome, super, super famous Tara Strong.
That's it. I knew the name, I just couldn't call it.
Oh, my gosh. Of course. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, and your favorite hunter, C-20. She was played by Miss Sasha Lane.
Yes,
Sasha Lane. And it's really funny, the two hunters that you get to know the best in this series are C-20 and B-15. That is Sasha Lane and, okay, I have to look at her name because I cannot pronounce it unless I'm looking at it. Miss Wunmi, W-U-N-M-I, Wunmi, I guess,
okay.
Masaku is B-15.
Okay.
Now, each of these two ladies have both been in a comic book super movie before.
I did not know that.
Yep. Miss Masaku was in Batman vs. Superman in 2016.
Okay.
And Sasha Lane, C-20, was in Hellboy, the reboot of Hellboy in
2019. Okay. Sorry. my personal on the reboot of Hellboy.
Yeah, I know. I've not watched it. I'm sorry. The original Hellboy in, like, what, 1988, 89, something like that.
The original Hellboy?
Yeah.
Oh, no. The original Hellboy, I think, was around 2000.
Was it that? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I was thinking it was earlier than that, but you are probably right. But yeah, the original Hellboy with, I can't call his name. I never can.
Ron Perlman.
Yes, Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
That is one massive individual. Oh, I don't know why they didn't get him to play Thanos.
Cool guy.
He's huge. But yeah, love Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking about Hiddleston's language skills. Do you remember when they go to Pompeii? The ancient?
That's right.
Pompeii. Remember when he and Mobius go there? Well, he speaks to the child in Latin.
Okay.
That is one of the languages that Hiddleston speaks fluently.
Okay, so he didn't have to just kind of memorize a couple of phrases or whatever. He knew the freaking language.
But now my question is, how do you know you're pronouncing the words correctly when it's a dead language?
Like which one?
Latin. Latin is a dead language. It is no longer spoken as a form of communication. It is only used for it's used for language studies, and it's used for naming new things, basically. New medications, because it is a dead language, and the meanings for the words are not going to change, because it is not spoken as a, you know, as a country.
Everyday, right.
Yeah, I took Latin in school. I can basically break down any word in any language and tell you what, you know, where it came from. But other than that, I don't find it very useful.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, I kind of confuse dead language with extinct language. You know, extinct is like, it's just not,
right,
know, spoken. Yeah.
Yeah,
but
dead.
Yeah, you know, it's a dead language, but I guess we still use it a lot.
I guess. I mean, they still offer it in high schools. That's where I took my Latin. But yeah, that is one of the languages that Tom speaks fluently. And I gotta ask you this, because I want to get this out on the podcast, because it's really cool. Your favorite scene in this episode, in episode 3.
Yeah, you already know my favorite scene.
Well, everybody else doesn't.
The conversation, well, and it was a great opener.
Right.
Where she's basically kind of underhandedly trying to find information from, was that C-20?
That was C-20, yes it was.
Yeah, and she kind of poses as her good friend, and they're having drinks.
Yep.
And talking about brain freeze.
Right.
And they were really, really good friends, you know. And everything that you had seen from C-20 was fierce, kind of hunter, all business. And here you see her as a very, very feminine, very cute, great sense of humor, beautiful smile.
And very open, very outgoing.
Yeah. Super social, you know.
Right.
And it turned out, of course, that, you know, it was all kind of a ruse, but I love that scene.
It's a great scene. They do talk about brain freeze, and I love Sophie's explanation. It is not the correct one, but it is a good one. I'd never heard that one before. So Sylvie says that brain freeze is caused when your mouth gets so cold that it freezes the synapses in your brain. Okay, now we all know that's not...
Yeah, that's not it.
That's not, no. So
there would be a lot of dead people.
Right.
from eating ice cream.
Right. So I decided to check it out because it made me curious. You know, I'd considered it before, but never enough to actually look it up. Brain freeze is caused by the arteries in the roof of your mouth, your palate, both enlarging and constricting back and forth, which is what it does to try to deal with that cold and try to heat your mouth up. It's trying to maintain body temperature. And your brain interprets that flexing of the artery as pain.
Nice.
So that is what brain freeze is.
Yes.
So, now you know.
Nice.
But yeah, that's Sasha Lane is Hunter C-20. And, you know, unfortunately, we do find out later on in the series that Rowena prunes her because she's demanding to know who she was, where she lived, and where she came from.
Right.
So, you know, that's a really bad thing. But yeah, let's see. Got that one. Now, do you know what this series was originally supposed to be about?
Well, you know, they call it Loki, and I figured it was, And I mean, you know, of course it was going to be Loki, but what direction it was going to take and what it was going to be like. Right. No.
Did you have any, I mean, any...
Like, what they were going to do, I had no idea.
Okay. Do you remember the movie Forrest Gump?
Sure.
You know how Forrest was just inadvertently or accidentally in the right place at the right time for a lot of different things?
Historical events, right?
Right. You know, Elvis's hip wiggle. The smiley face with Shit Happens. There's dozens of instances where Forrest just happened to be at the right place, the right time. Well, that was alluded to a little bit in the beginning when they show that he was D.B. Cooper in the 70s. Now, D.B. Cooper was a very huge historical figure in the fact that he robbed a bank on an airplane and disappeared. No one ever found him. No one ever found the money. It was assumed that he died somewhere in the jungle, but nothing was ever found. So that was true. That was a big thing. That was essentially what it was created to be, was Loki popping in and out of different time frames and timelines, and either on purpose or accidentally influencing historical events to go the way that they should have gone to begin with.
So originally they did a fair amount of time travel. They knew it was going to be time travel, and that's
right.
That's cool.
Oh, and the movie Midnight in Paris that he's in with Owen Wilson is also about time travel. I can't wait to see that. I've been trying to find it on streaming services, and no luck just yet. I'm hoping it'll pop up though.
Yeah, I'd really like to see it.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I still have my Hollow Crown that I have not been able to watch because my DVD player was broken, and now I can't find the remote. So, yeah, I'm telling you. But yeah, now this series actually was a prelude to three different movies. One that's already out, one that will be out in the next couple of months, and one that won't be out until next year. Any idea what those movies are?
No.
All right. The one that's already out, I saw this in the theater. I loved it. It's hands down the best Spider-Man movie ever. No Way Home.
Okay.
No Way Home. I loved
it. Everybody's loving this movie.
I'm sorry. I am so sorry for anybody that I might offend, but I love me some Tobey Maguire. He is so cute.
Yeah, I've heard about kind of that last scene.
Oh. Which one? Wait. Which one?
Well, and I haven't seen the movie. Oh, okay. I'm just kind of like, tiny spoilers, whatever. You know, I've heard the stuff, but apparently they did the meme thing where it's Tobey Maguire, what was his name, Andrew Garfield,
yeah,
and Tom Holland, where they all kind of get together.
Yeah, yeah, it's quite incredible. The whole movie.
That's what you're talking about, right? When you were talking about Tobey Maguire.
Oh no, I just love Tobey Maguire. I think he's amazing.
Okay.
He was my favorite. Sorry, Tom, but he was my favorite Spider-Man. Ever.
I thought he was a great Spider-Man.
I loved him as Spider-Man. I thought he was amazing. I thought
he's my favorite Peter Parker.
Okay. Okay, alright. Alright. I will I can definitely see that distinction.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really, really love Tobey Maguire. When everybody's going, oh, Tobey Maguire's gonna be in this one, and I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. Get to the theater and there he is, and I'm like, yay! It was just very cool. And the way they tied the Sony Spider-Man productions into the Disney MCU Spider-Man productions was also very cool. And it kind of explains why there's differences. Because they're each on a different plane in the multiverse.
Okay.
Just like when they're looking for Loki's, the variants, their magical abilities differ. Their sex differs. The way they look differs. Their height differs. Because they're all on different planes of the multiverse. So it really opened the door for No Way Home. Also, it gave way to Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which is coming out later on this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be, and I don't know anything about this particular movie, so it's supposed to also open the door for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which should come out in 2023.
Wow, neat. Love those.
Yep.
Yeah, I love the Ant-Man style and the humor.
Right.
I'm really glad they're doing another one of those, too.
And on a C20 kind of note, they have alluded to, and dig as I might, I couldn't find anything concrete as far as this will happen in season two. But a lot of the characters that you thought gone for good may very well return, such as C20.
Nice.
Several others. Of course, Kang the Conqueror will be there. Now, at the end of this series, the very end, Sylvie has had enough. She won't listen to Loki. She won't listen to Kang. She insists on blood payment for the life that was taken from her. And she gets it, even after she's been told, you know, if you kill me, there's going to be one much, much worse than me coming to take my place. Well, she does it anyway. So Loki, realizing he is out of his depth, and with Sylvie absolutely refusing to trust him. I believe the line was, it's because you refuse to trust anybody and I'm not trustworthy.
Yeah, wow.
But Sylvie refuses to trust him, won't listen to him. He goes to get Mobius. Because, you know, who else can help? At least Mobius may know what to do. And he gets there and Mobius does not know him. I cried. That just broke my heart.
Yeah.
You know, you took away his girlfriend. You took away his purpose. You took away his life. Now you're going to take away his best friend, too? Really?
I know. Guys were hurt by that, I promise. Oh. Now you've taken away his buddy.
Yeah, they did. And gave that bitch back her position.
Yeah.
Friggin' Rowena. Oh.
Yeah.
Which she knew everything. She did know. She knew what was going on. She knew the timekeepers were fake. She knew about them all being variants. She knew about it all.
Yep.
So, yeah. And then she still killed Hunter C20 for discovering exactly what she already knew. Really?
Yeah, that was pretty shitty.
That was kind of, you know, take some my doll and go take a nap, honey. And no, I'm not trying to diss women that get moody on their periods. It's just, come on, that was a bit much.
She got moody. I've got to kind of wrap it up myself. We're certainly on an hour.
Oh, yeah, we absolutely are. And I know you got things to do. How are the kids doing?
Really, really well. They're ready for summer, like now.
Oh, I bet. Half a day, right?
Now.
Well, no, I'm saying school.
Yeah. My boy will be graduating tomorrow and then dismissal and it's all.
Woohoo!
I know.
You got it, Lee. And of course, London, we're cheering for you too, baby.
Yeah.
Pardon me, I am so sorry. Ugh. All right, well, I guess let's go ahead and wrap it up then. Let's see.
Good episode.
Depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com is our email. You can find our blog at depheadshiddlestoners.com, or you can go through barryreese.net and hit the link. Let's see, what else? You can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Music, and a couple of other streaming services. Thank you very, very much to Barry Reese, who is making sure that that stays connected for us. Even though he can't be a host with us right now, he's got too much going on, he's still backing us and helping us out every way he can, so we just want to say thanks.
Sponsor and patron.
Absolutely. You know, he was the one who inspired this podcast, actually.
Yeah.
He's the one who encouraged me to do this, and now we're on week 32, so we'll see how far it goes.
Pretty awesome.
Give us an email. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, any ideas, thoughts, you know, whatever. Have you met one of the guys? Let us know. I'd love to share that on the air. Yeah, anything, everything, we're here to listen. We love you guys, and I guess that's us signing off. We'll see you guys next week, Johnny Depp week, and I do believe we will be wrapping up the trial. And if he wins, we're all going to say, yeah, we knew he was going to. And if he loses, we're not going to want to mention it. So let's see, next week, what do we want to do? Any idea?
You know, I think that we should, if you're just asking for input, I was thinking maybe we could talk about the many loves of Johnny Depp.
That is a very good idea, especially right now with the trial and everything going on. So, shifting gears, let's go ahead and do this. So, next week, the many loves of Johnny Depp, we will go through what is public knowledge of his romantic entanglements. However, if y'all are looking for the down and dirty and the, you know, what you can't say on television, you're not going to find it here. That is the man's private business, and I will not violate that. Even if he was my next door neighbor, I wouldn't do it. So, that being said, we'll go through and see what we can find out about the do's and don'ts of possibly dating Johnny Depp, seeing as how he's single.
Right.
Sound good?
Yeah. It's great.
All right, guys. We'll see you back here next week for episode 33. And y'all have a great week. Be safe, be careful, and if you don't, name it after me.